For some people, living closer to the land means figuring out what really matters in life, paring everything down to the essentials to see what remains. William Powers writes about that way of life, what he calls wildcrafting, in his memoir 12 by 12. The book tells the story of a woman he calls Jackie Benton, a physician who lives off the grid in a 12 by 12 foot cabin in rural North Carolina. Powers says he was looking at the consumption of America with new eyes when he found Dr. Benton.
I'd spent a decade working abroad in Africa and South America, and I just returned to the States, and I was a bit shocked. I've been living in sort of very low-impact societies that have basically carbon-neutral impact on the planet. And then to come back and to see my own culture, my own society, which was having a big impact on climate change and all the shopping malls and the parking lots and everything else, was a bit overwhelming.
You must have been looking for something closer to your comfort zone by then.
I'm not sure exactly if I was looking for it, but I certainly found it. I received a phone call from Dr. Jackie Benton, and I was invited to go out and visit her in her 12 by 12 foot house in rural North Carolina. And I went out there, and I've never in my life seen such a small house. I didn't even want to go inside. I felt like it was too small and almost like invading someone's privacy to go into such a small place.
I mean, to put it in perspective, most people would find 12 by 12 a reasonable size for a guest bedroom.
Exactly. It's well, I'm 6 foot tall, so it's two of me each way, basically. And in that space, this physician has everything that she needs. She lives out of this. There's no running water. All of the water is harvested off of the roof. It's rainwater. There's just a small stove inside to cook with, and there's a composting toilet and a beautiful permaculture farm all around it with a couple hundred varieties of native and heirloom plants that she grows to live off of. It's an integrated design of landscape and architecture to achieve sustainability.
Is that what you mean when you say permaculture?
Well, you might say it's the things that your grandparents knew but your parents forgot. It's basically living in harmony with the natural environment around you, being able to produce your own wines and jam, being able to grow the food that you eat, sometimes making your own clothes. Some of the homesteading ideas come into permaculture as well. So another definition is it's a sustainable way of designing architecture, the space that you live in, and landscape, the space around your dwelling.
And that brings us back to the 12 by 12. Now, we're not going to spend an entire time inside that building, but still, I'm sort of fixated on 12 by 12 and how you can live in a space that small. Most of us would find it impossible.
Well, you know, it's like Jackie says, and her name, by the way, is a pseudonym. She's asked for her privacy to change it. You know, she says that it's not that she's trying to convert people to living in 12 by 12 houses. You know, those are the dimensions of her life and her needs as a 60-year-old person whose kids are grown up. And she feels like she's got her material needs in line with what she's got. So for someone with a full family, obviously 12 by 12 is not enough. But the idea is to look for the elusive contours of enough and find the space between underdevelopment and overdevelopment. Much of us are in the overdeveloped space where we have too much, and that clutters your life, reduces your creativity, and is somewhat flattening.
Were you prepared for this when you went there for the first time?
You know, I certainly wasn't. As I mentioned, I was quite shocked to see this place, and in some ways repulsed by it at first, or threatened by it. You know, the idea that this was not some sort of a stunt or something like that. I mean, this person actually has lived for years in this 12 by 12 house with no electricity or running water at a pure choice. You know, I mean, she's a physician that could make lots of money and live wherever she wanted to. But instead, she only paid some $7,000 for the house. Her entire house is paid off, plus, I think, $10,000 for the land around it. So for $17,000, you're set for life, you know.
And you said that one of the reasons that she chose 12 by 12 was that by North Carolina property law is a shack, so it doesn't need to have taxes paid on it.
Right. It's not defined as an actual house if it's smaller than 12 by 12. Right. So it's, yeah, you don't receive any services from the state at all, but you're also not required to pay into the system for property taxes.
Wow. You had some experience of this, so you were more prepared than I would be, for instance, to think about this, and yet you were still put off a little bit about it until you went inside. And it felt bigger inside than out, I guess.
That's right, Jim. It was just amazing to feel the expansiveness and the spaciousness of the place when you get inside. She had her great-grandmother's rocking chair in there, which I sat in for several hours as the sun was going down outside. And she has a loft up top where her bed is and some bookshelves. And actually, there's really plenty of space there. You know, and what you also realized, and I lived there for a season while she was traveling, was that really it's about the space around it. It's about what you don't build. You know, it's the spaces in between are what are important. The spaces in between our thoughts, leaving a more expansive, creative beingness to our lives, but also in our environment, not creating too much stuff. I mean, Thoreau talks about this in Walden. There's a whole tradition in American history of embracing simplicity, you know, and that's really what it's about. It's about opening up spaces for ideas and relationships and inner growth to happen.
You decided to live there. Well, you were offered the opportunity to live there for a season, and you took it. And in some ways, I suppose that gives you the opportunity, but also the necessity of discovering who you are.
That's right. That's a good way of putting it, that it's about taking away from the exterior environments a kind of an asceticism that allows a kind of a more vivid and rich sort of inner world to take shape and form. And that's what I found. And I found that I was uncovering all kinds of emotions and thoughts and feelings that I hadn't before because I was always so busy. You know, I've spent 10 years abroad in these different countries working on development projects, ecotourism, how to export organic coffee from Bolivia to the United States, or how to do sustainable timber production in Liberia for export to the EU. All of these things take up, you know, really long work weeks. So really what it is this is a movement towards idleness. And it's what I call the idle majority. You know, there's a leisure ethic, not just a work ethic. And this leisure ethic is powerful. And, you know, billions of people around the world, I'd say maybe, you know, half of humanity expounds a kind of a leisure ethic.
Chris, for you, there was always knowledge that the future was not going to be here. You were not going to stay in the 12 by 12 forever. Did that figure in the back of your mind as you experienced all of this?
Yes, I knew that. And I think the only real test of an experience is whether it gets into your sort of habitual DNA, your habits. And I always kind of feared in the back of my mind that once I left this 12 by 12, that I would just go back to all my usual behaviors and nothing would change because I felt like I was learning an incredible amount. But I found that I did integrate a lot of what I learned out there into my daily life. And again, it's not like I live in a 12 by 12 house now or I'm not living in a cave and eating roots and berries. I live in New York City, you know, and I ask myself, what's my 12 by 12 in my life? And I think it's a question a lot of people can ask themselves, you know, what's my 12 by 12? How can I find this space of harmony and responsible consumption and joy in life? So for example, for me in New York, I mean, it's kind of easy for me not to have a car because it's New York City and there's lots of transportation, but I don't have a car. And I grow some of my own stuff in my garden in the back and steps like that, that are creating a kind of a 12 by 12 space in my urban life.
How long were you there in the 12 by 12? Just one season, but what is a few months?
That's right. It was just 40 days that I was actually living out there.
Isn't it an experience you would like to repeat?
I would like to repeat it. But then again, it's, you know, the process for me was about how you find your own rhythm and your own self and your own authenticity. And I don't think really my place right now in the world is to become a recluse or a hermit or living on that kind of a radical stance. You know, she's really at the edge of how radical you can live in America at this point, I think.
Do you see this as possibly being a new American vision, a new American dream?
I think I do. I think that there's a movement towards the small and towards the simple. I mean, people are really reflecting that. Even, you know, house sizes are going down a bit. In Europe, they've been going down for a while. There's a tendency towards wanting more free time. I think even with the economic crisis, it's had a lot of people asking themselves, you know, really, what is the American dream and how can we redefine that?
But I just can't see the president of Citibank moving to a 12 by 12. Can you?
Well, you know, there's some interesting people even here in New York, people from JP Morgan who have now started the Capital Institute, which is trying to get the absolute top CEOs to totally re-envision how we do capitalism based upon Shoemaker's idea of small is beautiful and everything like that. Also, even cities like Portland and Seattle are considering gross national happiness as a city policy. I think Vancouver is as well, as an alternative indicator to GDP. So there's a lot of people thinking in this direction.
William Powers is a writer and senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. He's the author of 12 by 12.